sitting there studying for this lesson a little bit this morning, going over some things that I'd planned to study, and my phone beeped for some reason. I picked it up and looked at it. I don't normally do that a lot, but someone, I don't know who it was, probably some organization, sent out a video. And it was a video about some horses that had been rescued from a desperate situation. Basically, the owners of these horses could not afford to feed them anymore. They had them in a corral that wasn't designed to support horses, and they had literally spent their lives in misery, and their hair was falling in and out, and they were skin and bones, and so they asked this rescue organization to come over and take these horses. Now, there's a purpose behind what I'm talking here, so stay with me. All right. They took these horses back to this organization and put them in stalls and nursed them back to health. They trimmed up their hooves and, you know, curried their manes and everything, and they fed them, and over a period of months, they nursed them back to health. And I don't know how long they kept them in these stalls, but there came a day when they were going to take, there were three of these horses, they were going to take them out and release them into the pen that they had set aside for them. Had green grass and room for them to roam. And I could not help but smile when I saw them release these horses. They did something that they hadn't been able to do in a long time. They literally leaped in the air and began to run, you know, and enjoying themselves because they had been cooped up in a little pen that was nothing but mud, and they hardly had room for each other to turn around. Can you just imagine the freedom that those horses experienced after being penned up for so long? Okay. I use that to lead us into our lesson because I thought it was kind of amazing that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. When I saw that, I said, that's perfect. That's a good lead-in for what we want to talk about. We value our freedom. Okay. This country was established on the fact that, you know, people wanted freedom. It's in our Declaration of Independence. It's in our Constitution. The idea that we are a free people, and we don't want anybody coming in here and telling us how to live our lives. Okay. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Okay. It's a good thing to be able to be free. It's a good thing to be able to do basically what we want to do. We can't just do everything what we want to do, but basically, well, you know, we have freedom to live the way we want to live. Go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Okay, and of course, this is Paul writing this epistle to the Galatians, and he says these words there. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Okay, what is this bondage he was talking about? This freedom and bondage. What were they bondaged to? Okay, sin, all right, and the old law, okay. If we go back and study our Old Testament history, we can understand that old law that was given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai was a law that was designed to bring people to Christ. Okay, what do we mean bring them to Christ? Okay, God knew that Christ was coming and He was going to be the ultimate sacrifice for sin. But until that time, those people needed a code, a law by which to live. Okay, now we're told that they couldn't keep that law, and if you were guilty of one violation, you were guilty of the whole law. But basically what that law spelled out for them is what they had to do in order to be pleasing to God. Okay, I think there's like 600 and some odds, I think for some reason 668 come to mind, different laws under that old covenant. Okay, and basically if they could keep those laws perfectly, they would be acceptable to God. Okay. They couldn't do it. God knew they couldn't do it. Okay. So what did that teach them? What did that teach them? We can't do it on our own. We need some help. And God knew that, and that's what He was trying to teach them. And so when He sent Christ into the world, you know, they were ready for a Savior. Okay. So that's what He's talking about. He's talking about freedom. And He says, you know, we're free from that sin. Well, how do we get free from the sin? Because Jesus died on the cross and took those sins away. So He's saying to them, don't go back and live the way you used to live. He's saying to them that you're free from that law of Moses. Okay? All those things there, the sacrificial laws and all those types of things, they're free from those things because Christ became the sacrifice. Okay? So He's telling them, don't go back and try to live under those rules because things are different now. Okay? So when we think about that and we think about freedom, there's freedom in our physical lives and there's freedom in our spiritual lives. Okay. Now we cherish our physical freedom, don't we? Okay. When people break the laws of this land and prove that they can't be trusted to live in a society without violating other people's rights, what do we do with them? We put them in a jail somewhere and lock them up for a period of time. Hopefully they'll rehabilitate, you know, and then they can be released back into society again. That's what locking people up is for. I mean, a lot of times it doesn't work that way, but, you know, that's what it's designed for. Okay. So, the idea of it is that we are a free people and we can do basically whatever we want to do provided we don't violate somebody else's rights and step on somebody else's toes. Okay. And we value that. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit today about some good things about our freedom and some bad things about our freedom. Okay? You ever thought about freedom being a bad thing? There are some bad things that can happen. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to read a little bit over there about a problem that they were having over in Corinth. Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and read this whole passage here. Make sure I'm in the wrong chapter. I knew that didn't look right. Because this is talking a little bit about the idea of their freedom. Okay, let's see, 8:1. All right, got it. Okay, we've heard lessons on this all of our lives. This is where we're talking about the meat sacrificed to idols. And what we're going to see is that over here in Corinth, we had a group of people that were called knowledgeable. In other words, they understood, you know, things like an idol is nothing, you know, and so therefore meat sacrificed to an idol is nothing, okay? But then you had what we call the weaker brothers. Maybe they were new in the faith or maybe they hadn't learned what these knowledgeable people had learned, okay? And they thought it was wrong to do that. Because in their mind's eye, if this was sacrificed to an idol, you shouldn't have anything to do with it. Okay, now that sets the basis for what we're going to talk about today. Now let's talk a little bit about the Greek culture before we read this. Okay, when you think about the Greeks were the people that really valued their freedom. In fact, they thought each individual had the right to choose how they want to live their life. Okay. I don't know who sang that song here a while back. Said I did it my way. Was that Frank Sinatra? I can't remember. You know. But that's the kind of idea that these Greeks had. You know, just do it however you want to do it, and there's no right or wrong. However you want to do it is right. That was the Greek philosophy. Okay. Now, consequently, in this Greek society, there was all kinds of gods, little g gods. Okay, that they worshiped. Every phase of their life, they thought they had a god that controlled that phase of their life. And so they would build temples to these gods, and they would have worship services to these gods, and they would try to please those gods, because their idea was if they pleased the gods, then the gods would treat them favorably in their lives. Okay? So in these temples, they would have these sacrifices, just like they did in the temple in Jerusalem, to their gods. Okay? In the same situation, you know, they would sacrifice the animals and they would take that meat and they would sell it either in the marketplace or they would sell it to different individuals. And meat was kind of scarce back there. You know, we talk about the lambs and, you know, everything that people raised in the herds. But for the common everyday person, you know, you had a meat and potatoes. It was not, you know, your common everyday meal. They would basically eat some kind of soup or lentil or vegetables or something like that. And if you had gotten meat, it was a blessing. Okay. So it was kind of unusual. Now, along with these temples, I want you to think about life today, because along with these temples, they would also use those temples for other things. They would have, for example, if someone was getting married, they would have a celebration and they would use the temple and they would even sacrifice an animal. Okay. In other words, they ate. We do that today, don't we? I mean, we eat it. You know, we don't need an excuse to eat today. I mean, we'll eat at every occasion we can get. You know, we have a party and you're going to eat, you know. Well, that's what they would do. Okay. And so they were eating at marriage feasts. They were eating at when someone was born. they would eat. If someone died, they would eat. If somebody got a job promotion. In other words, for every special event, they would have one of these ceremonies and they would eat. Now, today, don't we do a similar thing like that? We have a service organizations in this town right here that meets sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly. Okay, and when they get together, what do? They eat and have a meal. Well, before that meal, they pray. Okay, it's something similar to that. The trade guilds that they had in this society, they would have meetings like this every once in a while, where they would get together and talk strategy and, you know, talk about ideas, and they would have a meal, so on and so forth. So there was a lot of things that were going on in that temple. Okay, they were just using the temple as a building. You know, sometimes you do that in churches today, not a religious ceremony, but you know, you use a building for different things. Okay, so these weak brethren, we call them weak. Now, I don't like to use that word because let's just say unlearned. Okay, the unlearned. They were having a problem with this idea of these sacrifices. Okay, now think about it, because it makes sense. Okay, you're a new Christian. Here's somebody out here offered a lamb to Zeus, okay? And now what they do is they take this meat that was offered to Zeus and they sell it to this trade guild who's holding their, you know, monthly meeting, and they chop that lamb up and they serve it to the members, okay? Now we've got baptized believers who are part of the trade guild, and they're there in that temple and they're eating this meat, okay? You with me? Those who were knowledgeable, okay, had no problem with that. All right, we'll read about that here in just a minute. But those who were not as knowledgeable, were new to the faith, said, wait a minute, how can you do that? Okay, well, the problem wasn't with the eating or the not eating. The problem was with their disrespect for one another's rights. Okay, we'll read about that. Okay, so let's begin reading. I'm just kind of setting the stage here for you. All right. Verse 1, verse chapter 8. Now concerning sacrifices to idols. These people had written to Paul, okay, probably these knowledgeable people had written to Paul and asked him for his input on this. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffed up, but love edifies. Now let me stop right there for just a minute. How does knowledge puff us up? I thought knowledge was a good thing. Don't we all want knowledge? I don't know about you, but that's why I study this word, because I want knowledge. Okay, but he says knowledge puffs up.
You think you're smarter than the other person?
Okay.
Or feel inferior to the other?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you learn stuff, don't you feel good about yourself? You know. Well, if we're not careful, we can let that bleed over, and we get the big head sometimes. You know, so it can puff us up. Now look at this word edified. Okay, edified. This word comes from a Greek word that means to build up. That's what edify means. You talk about, we get that, this is where we get our word for an edifice. You know what an edifice is? What is an edifice, Roger? It's a building. It's something that you build, okay? So when we talk, I've spent my whole life building edifices, okay? What all it means is we build something up, okay? All right, so this is what he says here. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. All right, is that not some of the commands that were given in the Old Testament? That's why we gather together. That's why we're here today. That's what we come for. We're here to worship God, but I mentioned last week in our opening statements, God doesn't need our worship. He does not need it. He wants it. He desires it, but not to make him feel better. It's for our benefit. Okay, it's for our benefit. We're here to worship God so that we can build one another up, so that we can encourage and admonish and edify one another. See, God knew that. He knew that when he established the church. He said, I want my people to come together and I want them to worship, not because I need it, but because they need it. Okay, so that's the way we build one another up. That's why we're here this morning. That's why God says, do not forsake the assembly. Because when we do, how can we edify others and be edified by them? Okay, that's why it's important for us to be here. Okay, let's go read further. Verse 2. If a man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. But If a man loves God, the same is known by him. All right, and let me stop there again. The most important thing is not what we know. Okay? It's that God knows us. Does that make sense? The way we live, the way we act, what we do with our knowledge. See, knowledge, it's okay to have knowledge. We want to have knowledge. We want to grow. Yes, yes. And if we use it in the right way, see, then God looks at us in favor, with favor, okay? So it's not the knowledge that's important. It's how God looks at us and what we do with that knowledge. Okay, verse 4. Concerning, therefore, the things sacrificed to idols, we know, okay, this is knowledge, this is a fact, all right? We know, what do we know? That no idol is anything in the world, and there is no God but one. Okay? Even those who were weak knew this. Okay, they knew this. All right, that there's one God, one Creator, one Lord. Okay? And these so-called idols, you know, were nothing. Now, one of the ideas that people had about idols was that there were spirits living in those idols. And so by worshiping those idols, they were worshiping the spirits that they were supposed to represent. Now, you got to remember now that life in first century was different than what we experience today. There were demons and spirits that were invading people's lives back then, you know. And so they were a little more affected by some of these things than what we are. We're kind of withdrawn from that, and we don't see that, so we don't fail to understand how they felt. Okay. But these weaker Christians, when they saw these people worshiping those idols and saying that there was a spirit in that idol, they knew what spirits were all about, okay. And so they got the idea, you shouldn't do that, okay? All right. Where do we get to? Verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are gods many and lords many, yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom of all things, and we unto him one Lord, Jesus Christ, through him are all things, and we through him. Okay, verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in all men that knowledge. Okay? So we got people that have that knowledge, and we have some people that don't fully grasp the idea. Okay? There may be something else affecting their lives. Okay? Let's see where we get to this. Let's start verse 7 again. Howbeit, there is not all men that knowledge, but some, being used until now to the idol, eat as of a thing sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Okay? Let's stop once again. We call these members weak members because they're lacking a full understanding and the knowledge that they need to have. Okay? But, he says, if they eat believing that that is wrong, then their conscience is defiled. Okay, well, what difference does that make?
You shouldn't hurt your conscience.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about a conscience. Have you ever thought of a conscience being something that God put within you? Okay. A conscience is a God-given thing. Okay, now we say that a conscience is not a safe guide. Well, yeah, that's true, because a conscience can be trained to believe something that's not true, just as these guys here, that, you know, it wasn't safely guiding them here. But Romans, I wrote it down here. Let me see if I can find it. We've got to read this scripture. I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, my goodness. I thought I wrote it down. Verse 14, chapter 14 and verse 23, Romans 14 and 23. Somebody turn over there and hold your finger on Corinthians there. We'll come back to that. Romans 14 and 33. 23, yes. Romans 14, verse 23. Okay. What does that teach us? If you eat it, okay, now what did we just say a while ago? There's only one God. There's no such thing as idols, okay? So the knowledgeable are saying, so what difference does it make whether we eat the meat? The weak is saying, you know, I've got a problem with this. It's against my conscience. But he goes ahead and eats it anyway. What's he done? What? He's gone against his conscience, and it says he did what? Yeah, he defiled his conscience. Okay? So, even if your conscience is not necessarily leading you in the right direction, if you go against your conscience, okay, in other words, your conscience says don't do that, and you do it anyway, you sin. Does that make sense? It doesn't sound fair, does it? Yeah, it's the faith, lacking of faith there, okay? So, what we're saying is, don't go against your conscience. Okay? Don't go. What is a conscience? It's given to us by God, but what is it? Why is my conscience different than your conscience sometimes? What's involved in a conscience? Does it not involve some maybe previous training which you've had? Maybe as a little child coming up, you were trained to believe something was right and something was wrong, and you're convinced of that in your heart, you know? Okay? So now, you know, mom and daddy said, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And you say, I'm going to do it anyway, whether it was right or wrong. It's just that, you know, as far as God is concerned is what I'm saying. You violated your conscience. And it's a sin. Okay? So here's the point we're getting at. We've got these knowledgeable people who are saying, it's okay to eat that meat. We've got these weak people that are saying, I shouldn't do that. And the knowledgeable people were saying, oh, come on. You know, what's the matter with you? You know, and causing them, almost forcing them to go ahead and eat. And now they're on a guilt trip because they've done this. You ever seen that happen in life? You ever seen that go on? Happens all the time, doesn't it? You know, especially when you're growing up, you know, oh, come on. What's it going to hurt, you know? Yeah, what peer pressure? You know, one little drink's not going to hurt. You know, one little cigarette, it ain't going to hurt nothing, you know. And if you go ahead and do it and violate your conscience, you know, God said, you sinned. You sinned. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. Why are we talking about meat? Do we have this problem today? Do we have meat sacrificed to idols today that we have to worry about?
There are other things.
Well, that's exactly right. We don't have that problem. I mean, our meat's processed down at the butcher plant, you know, and they ship it to us, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. But this applies to other things, okay? We see this come up all the time. It applies to life every day, okay? It applies to us as knowledgeable, and it applies to us as weak, okay? So don't violate your conscience. All right, I keep getting off the subject here. Where'd I get to? I think we read 7, didn't we? Let's go to verse 8. But food will not condemn us to God, neither if we eat not, Are we the worse? Nor if we eat, are we the better? Take heed lest by any means this liberty, okay, that's what we're talking about, this freedom, this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to the weak. All right, now that's what I was talking about, you know, our knowledge can be a bad thing sometimes. If we use that knowledge to try to convince somebody else to violate their conscience, it becomes a bad thing. Okay? So, we've been talking for the last few weeks about, you know, loving our neighbor and putting others ahead of ourselves. Okay? So, I thought this would just fit right into there, you know, to realize that sometimes we need to be, well, not sometimes, all the time, we need to be very observant of others, of their needs, because people are not on the same level as far as their faith and their spiritual maturity. Okay? And so there are times when you need to forego your rights, your freedom, your liberty, your knowledge for the sake of someone else. Okay? So keep other people in mind when you do the things that you do, when you teach the things that you teach, you know, when you exercise the rights that you have, you know, we don't want to do that to the defamation of someone else. Okay? All right, verse 10. If a man see thee who hast knowledge sitting at meat in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be emboldened to eat these sacrifices to idols. Now, why would that affect someone who thought it was wrong if they see someone else, you know, do it? What would be the problem there?
Leading them the wrong direction.
Have you ever thought about that? That sometimes people will look up to us as being a mature Christian, and they'll say, well, you know, they're doing it, so surely it's okay for me, okay? But then later they go, oh, I wish they hadn't done that. I wish, you know, so what I mean. So we're influencing them and leading them to yield to a temptation that they really shouldn't have yielded to. Right or wrong is what I'm saying. The eating of the meat was not necessarily the issue. It was the idea of people's attitude towards it. Okay. What should have been done, okay, is that these people should have been brought along, these weaker Christians should have been brought along, okay, and learning instead of the knowledgeable people, you know, kind of beating them on the head with it. I've seen that a lot when it comes to the scriptures. People will literally beat you on the head with this Bible trying to beat the scripture into you, you know. And sometimes we're not capable of understanding all those things yet. We have to be brought along. Didn't Paul say at one time that we are babes in Christ when we're first baptized? You know, and you need milk. Okay. Later you can have the meat, but first you need the milk. And we're forcing the meat upon those who need the milk. Okay. So once again, this goes back to our attitude, you know, that we need to be aware of people around us, other people's needs, you know, and try to help them in any way we can. Is that not what the scripture says? What is the greatest commandment? How did we start that weeks ago that talking about this? The greatest commandment is love thy neighbor, love the Lord God, you know, all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so it's hard to do sometimes, but it is a basic Christian principle that we want to put everyone else's needs ahead of our own. Okay, so I've got the freedom in God. You know, I've got, as far as liberty is concerned, I've got all, there is no law. That's what Paul said. For the Christian, there is no law. Now, does that make a sense? I did a double take the first time I read that. I said, what do you mean there's no law? Everybody's got a law. You know, why is there no law for the Christian? Well, yeah, but what does it imply that there's no law for a Christian? What are laws made for? What are laws there for? You got a speed limit out here on the street. What speed limit out here? 30 miles an hour? I don't know. I don't pay attention. 30, 35, you know, out here. Why? Why is it not 50 or 60? Why? What's it for? Huh?
Congestion.
Yeah, that's a busy street out there, you know, and there's a lot of congestion. And you got to be able to... So what that means is that you have a law that says you drive a certain speed. So what's that law for? What's it designed for? It's designed for protection, okay? So basically, what laws are for is to protect people's rights, all right? Now, thinking about a Christian, okay, if I'm a Christian and I'm driving down this road and I see kids out there and I see cars out there, what am I going to do? Stomp on the gas pedal? No, I'm going to say, wait a minute. You know, common sense tells me I need to slow down a little bit and watch for the safety, especially if there's kids running out in the road. You know, I want to watch. The idea applies here. What I'm trying to get at is that the reason Paul says there's not a law for the Christian is because we're trying to do what's right in the first place. Okay. A lot of times, a Christian's ideas will supersede what the laws of the city or the state or the government says, because we're going to go above and beyond what they say in order to do what's right. Okay. If we're living the way we should. Okay, so there's no need for them to have to put a speed limit out there for a Christian that says, drive 35 miles an hour. We've got kids here. Okay, we see that and we recognize that and we want to do what's right. Does that make sense to everybody? You get what I'm talking about? Okay, so there's no need for Christians to be worried about, you know, well, is it wrong for me to kill? Well, common sense tells you it's wrong to kill because you're taking someone's life and you don't have the right to do that. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. Did we finish this yet? I don't think we did we? Where did we get to? Did we read 10? Yeah, okay, read 10. Verse 11 says, For through thy knowledge he that is weak perishes, the brother of whose sake Christ died. You ever think about that? Christ died for him, and we cause them to lose their salvation because they sin, because they violated their conscience. Okay? So, we could be the result of that. Okay, thus sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I will no eat flesh forevermore, that I cause not my brother to stumble. And by the way, here again, this is talking about if you have a weak Christian and he eats, he stumbles. What does that say about once saved, always saved? Just a sideline there. That's not part of our lesson. That's free. Okay. So, you get the idea of what we're talking about here. To eat or not to eat, that's not what's important. Okay. So, yes, that's exactly right. Because he's the one that went to the cross for you. Okay. Okay. Question comes up about, we talk about these social clubs and things like that, you know. A lot of times you will have people that will say to you, well, really a Christian shouldn't be in those types of things. I mean, they're service organizations, but you want your efforts and your attention devoted to the church because they're a outreach ministry also, so devote your time to them. Have you ever heard that argument before? Okay. So if that's the case, should I say okay and withdraw from my civic organization? That's just something we need to think about, you know. And a lot of times people will use that as an argument, okay, to try to get you to do what they want you to do because they say, well, you're causing me to stumble by your being part of that. Have you had those problems? You being a part of this civic organization is causing me to stumble. You know, just be aware of those things. The people will do that a lot of times in the church to try to get their way, so to speak, and to get you to do things that maybe they want you to do. So it's just something to think about. Okay. Whatever the case, all right, Bob makes a statement a lot of times. He says, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Okay. That's what it's all about. We want to do the right thing. Okay. And so we need to do what we think is right because that does not violate our conscience. All right. Until we're trained a little bit better way. Okay. Go over to chapter 10 and verse 23 there in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Verse 23. Okay, somebody read that for me. Chapter 10, verse 23.
All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's will be.
Okay. So here's what Paul is saying. He says, everything is lawful. You know, it's okay. All right? But everything is not helpful. All right? Now drop down. Is it down or back? Let me see where I'm at here. Forgive me. I keep having to look at my notes here. Go back up to verse 14. The same chapter. All right? Yep, that's where I want to be. Chapter 10, verse 14. All right, read along with me. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing. All right, now we're talking about what? The communion. Talking about the communion. All right. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that who are many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, have not they that eat the sacrifices commune with the altar. I should have got a little more modern translation. I'm reading from the ASV. Right, verse 19. What say I then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to demons and not to God. Remember, that's what I was talking about a while ago. They're saying that there's a spirit lives in that idol, so they're sacrificing to them. Okay. And I would not that ye should have communion with demons. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Ye cannot partake of the table of the Lord and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the God to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. There are times when eating meat sacrificed to an idol is wrong. Okay, and I'm not just talking about with a weaker brother at this time. Okay, can you think of a time when it might be wrong? Paul says all things are lawful. Okay. But when might it not be what you want to do?
When you're actually participating in the...
There you go. What if I was sitting in that ceremony, you know, participating in that ceremony when they were sacrificing that meat to an idol? Then it would be wrong. Okay? So, you know, I've got to weigh all the options, you know, and I don't want to take my arguments and make them apply to this. We just have to you know, use our minds here and make sure that we're doing the right thing for the right reason. And there are times when the right thing or the legal thing could be wrong. And so Paul is saying, you know, hey, meat sacrificed to idols isn't anything, but if I'm sitting in that ceremony when it's being sacrificed, you know, and participate in it, then it's wrong. Okay. The idea of knowledge, we talked about knowledge and how we want to grow in our knowledge. You know, in fact, we're instructed to do that, grow in your wisdom and knowledge, you know, towards God and man. And so knowledge is good and knowledge is important, but knowledge is not the path to God. Okay? It's a good thing, but it's not our path to God. All right? Now, don't use that as an excuse for not gaining knowledge, but the important thing is that God knows us, okay? All right, so when I think about this idea of meat sacrificed to idols, and I'm going to make that apply to something else in life, whatever the situation may be, how am I going to make a decision on whether I should participate or not participate or do something or not do something? How am I going to make my decision? How do we know what's right to do and what's wrong to do? Not always easy, is it? I'm going to give you one good rule that you can always use. Okay. Am I benefited or am I not benefited from what I do? Okay. Is there a benefit to doing what I'm doing? Okay. And the second part would be, is anyone going to be injured by what I do or don't do? Okay, that's two good rules to go by. Two good things for me to think about. And that applies to everything that I do in life. You know, is there good that can come from it? Is there bad that can come from it? You know, so, you know, that's what I make based my decisions on. I've always thought about the idea of making friends, you know, in life. How do we make friends in life? How do we choose our friends? Who can we really call a friend in life? I think it basically what we just talked about there. You know, if I have a friend, okay, is this friend going to help me to become a better person or are they going to hinder me from becoming a better person? Okay. That's how we should determine who should be our friends. Because if they're hindering me from doing what I need to do, they're not really my friend. Okay. That same idea applies to the deeds that I do. Am I going to be benefited from this or am I going to be harmed by doing this? So that would help me to make my decision. Am I going to injure someone else by doing this? I've got the freedom to do it. Okay. This applies to the meat sacrifice. God says it's okay. You know, it's not, there's no such thing as idols, so don't worry about it. But if someone is going to be offended by it, don't do it. Okay. So here again, it's that love thy neighbor as thyself, putting other people's needs, you know, ahead of my own. Okay. So that will help me to make my decision. Does all this make sense? Does all this make sense? Because sometimes it's not easy. All right. Verse 33 of that same chapter we were just in, chapter 10, says, Even as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. Okay. So I'm putting other people's needs ahead of my own in order that I can please all men and they may be saved. All right. I want to go back over to Galatians chapter 5 again. Galatians chapter 5. That's where we started earlier. And we're going to start in verse 13 and 14 there. All right. Everybody there? Galatians chapter 5, 13 and 14. Paul is speaking here again. He says, "For ye, brethren, were called for freedom." All right, that's the freedom we were talking about. "Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one of another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this." And what is this? Love your neighbor as yourself. All right. Now, what does he say? The whole law is fulfilled in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Now, that's the lesson. Now, how are we going to make the application? How am I going to apply that to my life? What am I going to do in order to be pleasing to God, to be the type of person He wants me to be? I'm going to follow that rule. Love my neighbor as myself. All right? And who is my neighbor? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Who is my neighbor? Anyone that I come in contact with who has a need, that's my neighbor. Okay. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? That's a big responsibility. So as I'm going through life, I'm putting other people's needs ahead of my own. You know, I'm looking for opportunities to do what's good. I'm not going to exercise my rights to the deficit of someone else, okay? And so when I do that, and I've got to be aware of this at all times, you know, I've got to be aware of that. When I do that, then I'm going to be pleasing to God. I'm going to edify the body. I'm going to build the body up, okay? And you know, everything's going to be good. That's the way it ought to be. But until we can learn to do that, you know, it's not going to be easy for us. It's just going to be rough, okay? All right. Questions or comments? I hate to do all the talking all the time. I like to hear other people talk. Nobody want to get in on any of this? All right. All right. We're gonna stop right here. I appreciate your time, and I'm presenting these ideas for a reason, because I like to deal with, you know, what practical everyday Christian living is all about. And if I don't grasp that, you know, I'm missing out on a lot of what Christianity is all about. So appreciate your time, man. Thank you.